Have you ever thought about, should I stay in this situation or should I go? Have you ever thought in your head, what would happen if I would actually go? Or what would happen if I actually stay? Well, the story of Ruth explains that in a very beautiful way. Today, I would like to talk to you about the story of Ruth. Ruth is the daughter-in-law to Naomi. Naomi was married and she had two sons. Years later, Naomi's husband and her two sons all passed away, leaving Naomi widowed along with her two widowed daughter-in-laws. Naomi decided that she needed to move back to Bethlehem because there the Lord had provided food for them. So she had a conversation with her two daughter-in-laws, one named Orpah and the other one was named Ruth. She told them, she said, I love you guys too much for you guys to stay. She said, even if I was to get married again, would you guys really wait for my sons to grow up? Don't do that. So she was like, you guys can go. Go back to your family. Go back to your mother and father. Orpah took her on that. And she left. But Ruth was like, nope, I'm not going. So you find Ruth saying these very words in Ruth 1 and 16. Ruth said, don't urge me to leave. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it so severely, even if death separates you and I. Ruth was determined to go with Naomi. So after Naomi heard those words, she said, okay, Ruth, it's me and you. So they journeyed on to Bethlehem. There in Bethlehem, they were getting support. And Ruth said, all right, it's time for me to work. So she decided to go into a field and start gleaning, picking up grains so she can support her and Naomi. So that's what she did. She was diligent at that thing. She worked day and night. She only took breaks to drink. She worked. Well, the field that she was working at was owned by a gentleman by the name of Boaz. Boaz was known throughout the city as a noble man. So Boaz was there and he said, who is that young lady out there working? And they was like, oh, that's Ruth. She is the daughter-in-law of Naomi. He said, oh, okay. So do you know what he did? He found favor in Ruth. And he told her, I want you to only glean in this field. I'm going to make it my business to make sure that you have enough grains so you can support you and Naomi. So Ruth was so taken back, as I was. She said, why do you find favor in me? She was just so shocked. She said, why do you find favor in me? Boaz said, because you left your mother and your father in the land that you knew to go and be loyal to your mother-in-law, Naomi. He said, because of that very thing, I'm going to honor you. So that leads me to bring up three words. First word is loyalty. The second word is protection. The third word is favor. Ruth was loyal to Naomi. She said it. She said, well, you go, I'll go. Your God will be my God. She was willing to give up everything that she knew to be with Naomi. She said, I know where I came from. I'm not going back there. I'd rather go with you. I trust the God in you to go. Ruth was protected. She went to the field and she was working. And Boaz saw her and said, to everybody else, don't touch her. Let her work and let her gleam in the field and don't harm her at all. Last and final, Ruth was favored because of her obedience to now go and journey on with Naomi, and because she went into the field and she was able to glean and she worked. She didn't complain. Nothing in the Bible says she complained. It's not me. It's not even my fault. I can't believe I'm out here. I'm picking up. I'm working. And she's not even my blood relative, but I'm out here working. She didn't complain. She did exactly what she needed to do to provide for her family. So God favored that. And Boaz made sure that she had enough to live off. And Boaz said, because you left the unknown to come with Naomi, I'm now going to favor you. That's nothing but God. So I'll close with, what are you doing? What has God told you to go do that you're kind of nervous about? That you're kind of like on the fence. I don't know. Should I? Should not? Should I? We all have those. We all live those things. I don't know. Should I? I know what this is. I know what I'm currently in. I may not like it, but at least I know it. It may not feel good, but at least I know it. What has God told you to do? Are you willing to stay there, or are you willing to be like Ruth and go, not knowing what the end is going to be, but you love God enough to trust his direction. You love God enough to trust the way that he will make for you. Love God enough to say, lead me and guide me. And that's what Ruth did. And Ruth was able to eventually get married. I challenge you to read the whole book of Ruth. It's so impactful. It's so much there that you will learn and you will grow from. But I challenge you to seek God's face. Seek his face daily. Seek his face in every area of your life. And I promise you, like Ruth, you will have loyalty, you will be protected, and you will be favored. Thank you and be blessed.
Wow. Thank you, Carla, for sharing that awesome word with us today. I don't know about you, but over this month, as we have been passionately pursuing his presence, God has been doing some unexpected things in our lives, at least in my life. And I want to challenge you that as we go through this, the first week, we talked about the woman where the Canaanite woman, where she was asking Jesus for help and Jesus ignored her. And then she fell on her face in worship before him and called him Lord. And so she acknowledged him as her savior, acknowledged him as her king. And so therefore he then responded. Although the response was not what you would expect it to be from Christ, she was persistent in her pursuit of the answer. And so we have to be persistent in our pursuit of his presence. We have to be persistent in pursuing God the Father. God is a relational God. He wants us to pursue him, and he wants us to do it passionately. And so that was week one. Week two, we talked about prioritizing him. How many times have we prioritized everything else? The story that we came from was Martha and Mary. Miss Kathy broke it down so beautifully. She shared that Mary's priorities were that of hospitality and doing something else. But Jesus said, the best place to be is at my feet. So we need to prioritize him, get our priorities in order as we passionately pursue him. We need to remember that. And then we heard last week about Esther. Oh, and Esther, what we learned from Esther is that God proves himself even when you don't think he's there. Even when you're pursuing him and you're passionately pursuing him and he's quiet. When you're doing all the right things and you're trusting him and believing him and fasting and praying in pursuit of him, he is always there and he will prove himself and make a way for you where there seems to be no way. In the book of Esther, God was silent. There was no mention of God in that book. That's the only book in the Bible. And yet, he spoke so loudly by how he preserved the Jews. So I want you to understand and acknowledge in your pursuit of him that there may be times when he's not speaking or he's not moving, but it doesn't mean he's not present. He is always present. And then today we got to hear the story of Ruth. And oh, I love Ruth, because when Ruth steps in, something happens. And even as Carla laid out that there was protection and there was favor upon her, but Ruth in the very beginning was in pursuit of God. And the way we know that is because Ruth was a Moabite. Ruth was not Naomi's natural daughter. Naomi was of Jewish descent, and they had lived in Bethlehem, and they left Bethlehem due to a famine. And they went into the land of the Moabites, and her husband and her sons, you know, the sons got married, they married Moabite women, and then they died and they perished. And when that happened, as Carla shared with us, Ruth pursued Naomi and said, I'm staying with you. But the most powerful thing that Carla said was that in the word of God, it reads, she said, and your God will be my God. I want you to think about this for just a moment. Naomi was in a time of grief. Can you imagine? She had lost two grown sons and she lost her husband. Everyone in her family, with the exception of her daughter-in-law, is gone. Gone. She was operating in such a place of grief. She said, I'm changing my name from Naomi to Mara, right? Because she felt such bitterness in her heart. And yet Ruth said, your God will be my God. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. I want there to be so much Jesus in me that people say, even on my worst day, I want to serve the God you serve, because there's something inside of you that is different. Even when you are suffering, even on your bad day, you are pursuing a God that I must know because of who he is in your life. Think about that. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? At her worst time, Ruth said, I want to serve the God that you serve, because she saw something different. And so I want to encourage you today that we need to passionately pursue his presence, because as we passionately pursue his presence, none of it is for us. I want you to think about that. All of the women we've talked about, none of it was for them. They weren't doing it out of their own gain. It was for somebody else. The Canaanite woman was seeking him and pursuing him because she wanted her daughter to be set free from a demonic spirit. And so she was pursuing him. And Martha was doing this not out of herself, but because she was hosting all of these people in her home. She was showing hospitality and doing great things for all these people. She was making sacrifices. And then when you think about Esther, she did it for an entire nation, an entire group of people. It was not a selfish motive. It was for somebody else. And Ruth, Even as we talk about Ruth, Naomi served God and it brought Ruth, but Ruth didn't want it just for her own self-satisfaction. She wanted to serve the woman of God. That's powerful when you think about it. And I want you to think about that as you are passionately pursuing his presence, that it's not just for you, but it's for a nation, it's for a county, it's for your home, it's for all of the people attached to you, wherever or however that's meant to be. I also want you to continue to read in the book of Ruth because it is the most amazing love story. And when you really start looking at Boaz, he's a representation of Christ and Christ coming to redeem us. And so as you start reading that and you see how Boaz treated Ruth, and Carla's right, she found favor in his eyes, just like you find favor in Christ as you pursue him. I want you to think about that, but I want you to read about the entire story. I had somebody call me this week and they asked me what I knew about the threshing floor. And one of the stories where the threshing floor is talked about is Ruth. And Ruth went to the threshing floor to be and meet Boaz, because she needed a kinsman redeemer. And that's a whole other sermon for another day. But I want you to begin to think about it, because on the threshing floor, when you start thinking about the threshing floor is where they take the wheat and the tares, essentially. They separate the wheat, separate what's good from what is bad. And so when we get into a place where we're passionately pursuing Christ, we find ourselves on that threshing floor where it is a place in the book of Ruth of intimacy. It's a place of intimacy with Christ. And when we're in that place of intimacy, as my husband says it, into me see. Into me he sees, right? Into me. And then he begins to show me me. And as he begins to show me, I have to change. Then the bad has to go and he fills me with the good. And so I want you to think about that. As you're pursuing him, there's some things that have to come off. There's some things that have to be shaken out of your life. There's some things that you're going to not feel as comfortable with or in as you did before, because it's a transformation time. And so I want to just encourage you to read the entire book of Ruth. It is a powerful book. And maybe at some point we'll do a whole series on the book of Ruth, because there's so much in there that we can learn just from this one story. This one story. And I love it, because as we're ending today, I always say this: I want to give you the opportunity to know Christ. And even as Ruth needed a kinsman redeemer, we need a redeemer. We need a redeemer to come. And that's why Jesus came to this earth, so that he could redeem you from your sins, that he could pay a price that you could never pay, that he could willingly lay down his life sacrificially for you and me. And so today I want to give you the opportunity to know Christ as I know Christ. And it's real simple. We don't make it real difficult around here. We believe in making things practical, right? So it's the ABCs of salvation. A, you need to acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a savior. In Romans 3:23, it says that we are all sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God. So we need to acknowledge that we are sinners and that we need forgiveness. And then in Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we have to believe that Christ died for us and that he rose again. A, acknowledge or admit that we need him. We are sinners in need of a savior. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again for you. He did it. If you were the only person here, he would have done it. He didn't do it because we earned it. We could never earn the price he paid for us. And then the third one is confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believed and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. A, acknowledge or admit that you're a sinner in need of a savior. B, believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross, died on that cross, rose again for you, and confess that out of your mouth and declare that he is your Lord and Savior. It's that simple. So if you want to do that today, I'm going to say a real simple prayer. Just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Do you hear that? Do you hear the sound of rejoicing? I hope you can hear the angels singing, because the Bible declares that when somebody gets saved, there's a host of angels in heaven rejoicing and excited about you making that decision today. And we at City Reach Burlington are so excited to be on this journey with you. We want to partner with you. We want to empower you. We want to encourage you. We want to pray with you. We want to be there to help hold you up when you feel like you can't do it alone. So if you made that decision to follow Christ today, I want you to text the word All In, A-L-L-I-N, All In, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. You are not alone. We're here with you. We love you. God bless you. Have an amazing Sunday on purpose.